Remember when you used to sit down with your grandmother drinking soda, playing Uno, and watching Wheel of Fortune? Or maybe you're playing Cards Against Humanity, and the funniest thing you've ever heard in your entire life is your best memory you can think of. Well, at the center of all that happiness is a creative individual bringing you a tabletop game to ground your nostalgia of kicking it with your friends and eating Cheetos. Today, we have one of those creative individuals to create new memories, and his name is Jason Anarchy of Jason Anarchy Games. Come roll for initiative and nerd out on this edition of Region Nerd Alert. Hello, everyone.
Hey there.
What's up?
Hey.
So I am Jose, a.k.a. Joey Nerd Alert, a.k.a. Jose Nerd Alert, and you're listening to Region Nerd Alert on 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio. And how are you guys doing?
Doing good. All right.
Cool.
Pretty good. Yeah.
So today is a very special episode because we have another very special guest.
Ooh.
But before I get to him, I want to do a quick introduction with everyone in the room with me right now. So to my immediate left.
Fat low end in my chair. Because I don't always get it.
He is sitting in his chair. So Fat Low End, Twitter, Olatho, who...
Olatho, SoundCloud, Instagram, find me for cool music and soundtracks and stuff.
And Olatho actually does all of our music, including our Halloween special that is, should be wrapping up. Or actually, it just wrapped up.
It did.
So that was also Olatho.
That was actually that was released last week, right?
Last week? Yes, the last one should be last week.
I started listening to it. It's actually really good. I started listening to it.
It's hard to talk about the past, but it's in the future at the same time.
We're going to date ourselves right now.
And to his left, we have...
Thick Boy, three C's and three I's.
Thick Boy, three C's, three I's, Mr. Mike.
Mr. Mike.
All right. And then that's your Twitter handle, right?
Yes, sir.
And then you're also a photographer extraordinaire?
Kind of, technically. You can find that as Singularity Photography.
All right. And that's on Facebook?
Facebook, Instagram more, so.
All right. And then to his left, we have Miss...
Heather. I am Deli Hams on Twitter and Deli Hams with two S's on Instagram. I am a graphic designer.
All right. And then your Instagram's actually been...
Popping,
blowing up, right?
I'm actually using a little bit of it.
Awesome. Because you were in L.A. recently, right?
Yeah, for a cosplay.
Oh, that is cosplay.
Awesome. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you like board games?
Yes.
Do you like tabletop games?
Yes.
Do you like games that don't require electricity?
Yes, sir.
I love them.
Yeah, all sure. Right.
Well, today's guest is very special.
Ooh.
And he is calling in from Toronto, Canada.
Ooh.
Which, yeah. I don't know if you know, but he probably gets this a lot, too. But Scott Pilgrim is in Toronto. You don't like Scott Pilgrim?
I don't like Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, that's a whole other thing.
Unpopular opinion.
Yeah. I'm full of those.
Well, all right. Well, hello, Jason. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm good. How about yourself?
Pretty great. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for being on the show. Like, I know I messaged out to you, and then I didn't expect a reply, like, so soon. And today I was in bed and I seen your message. I'm like, okay, we're going to do this tonight.
I'm flying out to a convention tomorrow, so I'm home for one more day. So I'm like, okay, it's a good time today. So,
awesome.
There we go.
Stars, really worked out.
The stars have aligned. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. So what convention are you going to?
I'm going to HalCon in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So Canada is, we don't have a lot of population, but it's very big, so... Ontario is kind of like middle Canada, and then to get to each of the coasts is a bit of a flight. So, yeah, I'm really excited for that. I think the first time I did it was like 6 years ago. And it was a really good con. So, yeah, I'm excited to go back.
Nice. Awesome.
I actually really want to visit Nova Scotia.
I do too.
Go for HalCon one day.
I have to.
So, Jason, have you been to Nova Scotia before?
I have, yes. I did HalCon once 6 years ago, and then a month ago, I went to Sydney, Nova Scotia for the first time. Mm-hmm. I came out with an East Coast kind of themed game, so I'm trying to kind of hit up that area a little more. So it's called the Newfoundland Jam.
Yeah, I actually seen that. Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's a bit of an edgy jam-making game as far as they go. So basically, you know, it's like a card game. You have different jam ingredients, and you're trying to make, you know, certain kinds of jams that are available. But the whole idea for the game was I was kind of doing something wholesome for once with my game ideas. So I remember when I was 8 years old, my mom told me the story about making jam back home in Newfoundland. I just thought about that as an adult, and there was this artist I wanted to work with. I needed something colorful for this engine I made. So I'm like, okay, I'll make a jam making game. But my brand is, you know, I can't just put out a wholesome piece of entertainment just, you know, willy-nilly. So I also kind of peppered the game. Yeah. So there's, it's based on a wholesome story about making jam that my mom told me, but also I threw in a bunch of hilarious Newfoundland swear words that she would shout when she would get angry. There's a lot of great Newfoundland cuss words. I don't know what I can get away with here. But
I actually don't know the rules. Like, can we say curse words like other countries? Like, I don't know.
What about the J word? Can we use that? It's part of like a.
I think the worst.
It's risky.
Worst case, you can just censor.
Worst case, yeah. I have a funny way of censoring because there are other guests that have cursed before, including ourselves, and I do enjoy bleeping out and. Special
okay.
So, yeah,
right.
Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah,
I'll,
fire
I'll
it off.
Go out there and you can bleep me if you need to. Okay. So the game right now, the Newfoundland Jam still comes with the Kickstarter expansion pack, which is called the Lard Tundra and Jesus expansion, which is just a great thing to shout when you're an angry Newfoundlander.
And what was that?
Lard Tundra and Jesus. Yeah.
Lard Tundra
and Jesus. Another great one, one of my college roommates was from Newfoundland, and, you know, I never lived there, but I was raised by Newfoundlanders in Ontario. So he was straight up from Newfoundland. He was telling me all these great names to call people, and the best one ever was the one night we were playing Scrabble, and he got all angry, and he called me a juice arse, and I was like...
What?
How do you say that? Juice arse.
So it was just really funny sounding and nonsensical. So the rule book for the game is the last person to call someone a juice arse goes first. But it also mentions if you've never called someone a juice arse, then I suppose the last person to eat jam can go first. But it's that was a fun one to write. So there's a lot of great lines.
I'll be
there.
Always going first because I absolutely love jam and honeys and preserves. Like
I don't know about that because now I'm going to start using juice arse like constantly.
I need to look up some of these words because that is
fantastic.
I love how I think it's the Kickstarter page. It's like a card game about making some friggin' jam in Newfoundland.
Yeah, it's very forward about what it is.
Perfectly put.
That's awesome. And I'm loving the artwork. Who does your art for that one specifically?
Yeah, so that would be Kelly Basto. So she was from Newfoundland originally and then moved to Toronto, and we had some mutual friends. And then I checked out her style, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I'd like to work with this person. And then, yeah, she did a great job and totally professional, and everything looks good in the final version.
Yeah, I definitely love that stuff. I like how they're all bundled up and... I was about to ask how the weather is in Nova Scotia, but...
It looks cold.
probably be a safe bet. But yeah, it's all watercolors and everything. And then, I kind of wanted to do my own kind of interpretation of Newfoundland. Cozy was kind of what I was going for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cold, but, you know, cozy is good, even though cold is bad. And you open up the box, and there's this huge kind of lighthouse sort of thing. But then I also wanted to put a bunch of, you know, just funny humor in the game and stuff like that. So half a bit of a love letter and a bit of exploiting all the funniest language, I guess.
I'm serious. I'm going to have to use juice. I'm not going to keep saying it, but I'm really going to have to use that.
I was going to say, if I end up having to bleep it, I'm going to be very mad.
It's
going to be a bit of work.
Yeah,
every other sentence might be like bleeped out.
If I got to use beep, beep. But, yeah, so Jason, so how did you get into this? And also, is it just like a one-man operation, or do you have like a team of people?
For the most part, it's a one-man operation, but like as needed, like I'll hire people to help with like bigger tasks and things like that. And the way it started was, it was 2011, like the beginning of the year, I think. And I was working like a job that was fine, but it was like, you know, it wasn't, you know, exciting my creativity or anything like that.
Right.
I was like, okay, well, I had this idea. No, a friend of mine suggested this idea. He's like, okay, we're at a wedding. It was a free scotch wedding. So it was near the end of the night. We were both pretty gone. And, and I was always making games and RPGs anyway, just for fun. And my friends would always play them, which is great. And I never thought twice about that. It was just something I did. So he said, you're always making these RPGs, you know, and, you know, drinking with your friends, why don't you make an RPG that has drinking in it? And a light bulb went off in my head. I was like, okay, yeah, maybe I can do this.
That's the best of both worlds, for real.
Yeah, I never thought I would do anything, like, professionally within gaming. But at that point, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess, you know, like, I'm an adult now. I've been doing this, you know, a really long time since I was a kid. So I've got a lot of, like, unofficial kind of playtesting experience. So I, you know, had a sense of, you know, things that worked, things that didn't work. You know, by that time, I had gone to school for business management. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I can handle the business end. Then the other key ingredient there was I'm a huge fan of punk rock. So it's, you know, there's always fast beat kind of blaring the do-it-yourself work ethic into my brain. So I was like, okay, I feel like I can, you know, work hard and do this myself. So it was about a year from, like, idea to printed game. And then my business model was basically just, I saved up $6,000, and I was like, okay, I'll print a run of games, and, you know, there'll be some degree of success, even if I never get to print another one. And I'll be like, even if it fails, that $6,000 will be worth it just to be a game designer once, because I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, just to have it on paper just for you, like, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm a game designer.
So yeah. it takes that one, like, making that one thing to make you go, mm-hmm. You know what, I made this and I'm proud of it.
That was, like, my first episode of the podcast. Like, I'm a podcaster.
Real self-fulfillment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, 2011, like, I don't know, before Christmas, I ran an ad all the time. And, like, the first day, people were ordering the game in, like, different countries and stuff.
Whoa.
And so I was like, whoa, my mind is blown. And I've just been kind of riding that momentum in one form or another ever since.
I got a question for you. When people were ordering it, did you, like, get super excited and it hit you like, oh God, I have to actually, like, do this now. I have, like, to fulfill this. Did that ever hit you?
It was fun to do. It wasn't a hit. It was, but I definitely learned the thing that every DIY publisher will learn. So if, you know, someone's, you know, thinking of running their first game Kickstarter or something like that, everyone will always underestimate shipping. Shipping is really, really expensive. The U.S. Mm-hmm. isn't too bad. But virtually anywhere else in the world is, like, even Canada to Canada is at least 2 to 3 times what it costs to ship Canada to U.S.
Mm.
So if it's something anybody out there has ever considered doing, it's, you know, research those shipping prices ahead of time.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time I, like, look at a book or, like, a greeting card, it's always, like, a little bit more in Canada.
Yeah.
But
that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about that even in-country, it's still, like, more expensive.
Mm-hmm. So, in regards to, like, shipping, when you're building the game, like, not talking about, like, the actual game itself, but, like, the business around it, other than shipping, like, what are other things that people don't really think about?
Like, pitfalls you can run into?
I guess the thing everybody, you know, it's very common for people to have an idea and think, oh, okay, I'm just going to run a Kickstarter. But what that entails is, you know, you are starting a business. You're starting a business as a game publisher to put out a game that you made. So when I speak at panels, conventions and things like that, how do I make a game always comes up. And that's always the thing we drive home first, is that, you know, there's two options. You can start a business or you can approach a publisher. So there's no guarantees with a publisher. But if you're starting your own business, you know it's going to get out there based on how hard you're going to work for it, basically. So, and in my mind, you know, I definitely preferred that thing. It was like, okay, well, you know, I can be my own boss for once. That'll be kind of neat. And I didn't like, well, the first game I came out with was a drinking RPG called Drinking Quest. So it was like, I didn't want to go to a publisher. Like, I know it's a terrible idea, but it's like a good, terrible idea. So I didn't want to go to a publisher and have them be like, no, your terrible idea is terrible. And then me going, no, it's a good, terrible idea. I didn't want to have that conversation. the idea with Drinking Quest was, you know, it's half RPG and half drinking games. So you have this one really slow, numbers-based, methodical genre mixed with the biggest, dumbest genre of game you can get. And it turned into this thing where you're kind of on a simple RPG adventure, but when your hero dies, you have to chug the remainder of your drink in real life to continue. So it's like a slow-burn drinking game. But
I,
like,
was
going to
say,
yeah, fun RPGs.
We were actually looking at, like, the rule, like, you made a rule video, I think, of, like, how to play Drinking Quest. And the one thing that I did respect was, you know, you're not going to get blown, like, in the first 10 minutes of the game and not finish the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's a slow burn, like you said, which
I
appreciate.
It's only half of each genre. So, you know, I was researching, you know, popular drinking games. Virtually every drinking game just boils down to drink as much as you can, as fast as you can. And they don't tend to last more than 15 minutes, really. And so because it was half RPG, we needed a way for people to be able to finish the game. So the way to do that was to have like a pacing mechanism. So two ways that it's different. There's a pacing mechanism, and then it's a, you know, chug your whole drink system, not a sippy system. So there might be a period of time before you have to chug a drink, but that's okay, because when you do, it's like a big event in the game and it accents the gameplay.
Okay, so like a climax to like the story?
Yeah, yeah. So when your hero dies, you chug the remainder of your drinks. So if you have a situation where, you know, you're down to one hit point, you just filled up your Guinness in real life, and you're about to fight a Minotaur in the game, you know, you're feeling that tension. You know,
it's, a little bit.
It's very likely you might have to chug that bad boy. So, so that's kind of what I was going for. But each game is divided into four quests. And if you have to chug your drink more than once in the same quest, you just do three swigs, and then that way, you know, it stops people from going to the hospital, lets everybody finish the game. I didn't want to make something that had, like, you know, unlimited drinking rules, because I'm going to be totally honest, I'm actually not a huge fan of drinking games in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the secret ingredient, I think, was, you know, I always had a good time just having some drinks with my friends and playing RPGs. You know, silly RPGs with, like, dumb jokes and stuff like that. So I just wanted to kind of recapture that. And, yeah, people passing out was not part of that equation. Yeah. That's usually not fun.
Yeah, that's all, that's sort of like our friend group as well. Like, we're past the heyday of getting smashed, and we just want to, you know, enjoy a game that's also...
Occupies us and keeps us busy.
Have a few drinks in the process.
Have a few laughs, yeah.
Yeah, because we're a big fan of, like, Munchkin, too. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's I hadn't when I came out with the first game, and someone asked, oh, is it like Munchkin? So I went out and I bought it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, great game. It just wasn't an influence. But yeah, I, you know, throughout my convention adventures, you know, I've met, you know, the people that that make Munchkin, and, you know, the CEO of Steve Jackson Games, and, you know, it's pretty wild to meet people that are putting out these really cool things. I did a panel with Phil Reed, who's the Munchkin CEO.
Oh, wow.
And somebody in the audience was asking about distribution. How do you get your game into distribution? And I told my story about how, like, Alliance came to me a few months in, and they're like, oh, can we take Drinking Quest? We'd like to carry this game. And at the time, I was new. I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I only have so many copies. You know, it's not profitable enough. So I turned them down. And he was kind of, like, wide-eyed and, like, you know, just couldn't believe it. But then with the second run, I knew what I was doing a bit more, and I got the cost down per game. And I was like, oh, okay, if you guys want this, you can have it. And they're like, okay. And apparently... it's usually not that easy. So, yeah, I had a bit of luck with distribution early on. But, yeah, they must have seen it, like, you know, advertised online or something, or somebody heard something. But
so when you were first advertising it, did you have, like, the artwork collected? Or, like, what was the rough draft for it?
Yeah, the games were printed, and I had, like, all the artwork. And it was pretty basic, so... I don't know, it was just the face of Chuglox, the drunken barbarian, which is also my Twitter avatar. So it's just this great piece of artwork. We based this barbarian. He was meant to be half Conan the Barbarian and half the MXPX mascot punk guy. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but it's we tried to make kind of like a drunker punker Conan a little bit. Anyway, so it's this great face where he looks kind of enthusiastic but also kind of crazy. And so I just had that picture, and it just said it's a drinking game and a tabletop RPG. And I don't know, I probably ran that ad for 5 years straight, and it worked. So it was,
wow.
You know, it was, it caught people's interest enough.
So I was going to say, don't you also have some comic books about it as well?
Yeah, yeah. So I wrote a comic book that kind of made it a more kind of long-form story. And it was both funny and had, like, you know, some substance and some theme. And it was... you know, I still would like to continue that on. I had the first issue that kind of started an adventure, and I just kind of funded that and printed it myself. But at that point, it was like, oh, okay, I can't continue to do this and also put out games. And games are doing better than the comics. So if something falls in my lap, I can follow that up pretty easily. But yeah, it's, you know, focus is pretty important what you're choosing to put time in.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely enjoy doing, like, one-off passion projects just because, you know, I definitely want to. And that was one of them.
Even if it's not as successful, it's something for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted it to be like a full-length comic with ads and everything. So I just called up all my friends. I'm like, hey, do you want to put a half page ad in my comic? And they're like, okay.
So like the old 1960s comics where you look, open up the back, and it's like, oh, X-ray glasses, 39 cents.
That's awesome. Or like the zines, you know, yeah. Like the community zines.
I had a lot of friends sell a lot of X-ray glasses that year. Let me tell you.
I have a question for everybody.
Yeah.
What is your guys' like favorite tabletop game? Like if you guys had to like pick one where you're like, okay, you know, I can play this for, like, if I can only play this one for the rest of my life, like, I could do that. I would be fine with that.
Okay.
I'll start. Mine would be Magic.
Like, Magic the Gathering?
I recently got into it, like, I don't know, 6 months ago. And my God, it's got its claws in me.
Like, what are you, like, a grand in now?
I'm not going to talk about how much I'm into that game, but still, like, it's, I don't know. Something about that game just, like...
It's got its sharp claws.
It's got its claws in me, man. I can't stop thinking about combos and things I could do in that game.
So would you say, like, you're more into the competitive style gaming?
Kind of. I mean, at this point, yeah. Like, I did like the team games every now and then. I do like those, but I don't know. Now I just, like... I don't know, I hate being the target, but I like being the target at the same time in these games.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of like creative, I guess, the storytelling games.
Yeah.
That's why I'm definitely going to pick up Jason Drinking Quest now.
Yeah, we need to play that.
Oh, yeah, cuz yeah. we play the Le Neckbeard. Is that how you say it? Le Neckbeard? Le?
Jason?
Le Neckbeard.
Yeah, Le Neckbeard.
Or however classy you want to make it sound.
However.
So, there's no right or wrong.
So, I guess, would you guys want to, because, oh wait, Heather, you haven't played it yet, have you?
Not yet, no, because you guys played it down at Dragon Con.
Yeah. We played like a little bit up here, and then I played it mostly in Dragon Con.
I was in Con Crunch time, so I had no time. I was running off my head cut off.
So, Jason, what is your favorite tabletop game?
So my favorite game of all time is Milton Bradley's Hero Quest from the late 80s, early 90s. So I think for my 11th birthday? Yeah, 11th birthday, I know, this guy Marty in my class, I didn't know really well, but he came to my party. And he gives me this board game, and I open it up, and it's HeroQuest. I remember seeing it from, like, these epic commercials from back in the day. And it was kind of like a board game, kind of simplified Dungeons & Dragons. And so it had a 14-quest book with, like, different layouts for, like, the grid map and everything. But the last page of the HeroQuest book was just a blank page where you could make your own quest.
Yeah,
and then that, like,
awesome.
Just made something in my head go crazy. So for years, I must have made, like, hundreds of these custom quests. And the thing with game designers is you make a game, and it's hard to find playtesters. Like, it's a real challenge. But basically, my entire life, it's like my friends are just always ready to play these games, and it's never an issue to get this out. So, yeah, like, hundreds upon hundreds of these custom quests. And I would take mechanics from, you know, not just tabletop games, but, you know, video games, and, you know, put in ideas from other mediums and, you know, story elements from, you know, a book I read or a movie I saw or something. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun to keep coming up with, like, new balances for things, kind of new ways to use the same components.
So you've been using your imagination for a long time and creating these stories for these games and just having fun with your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, like, when I'm making a game, I'm less thinking about making a game and more thinking about kind of facilitating a bunch of friends having a fun night.
That's awesome, yeah.
Because it's like, you can make the best game ever. Like, you can make Chess 2, and it'll live for hundreds of years,
I'm
right?
Still waiting on Chess 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
In my mind, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, you have a fun night with your friends a few times, you know, that's a good purchase kind of thing. And my stuff is, you know, generally in the, you know, $20 to $30 range, so it's not something that would break the bank kind of thing.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And then you said, so were you into, like, D&D then?
Yeah, I had a second edition book, and it was amazing. But it was just, I was too young or something. And, you know, I would always be the DM. I would be the guy that gets everybody together. And it was just, nobody's attention spans could handle it. So what I would do is I would just kind of simplify it, make my own engines based off of it, where, you know, you could, you know, derp around and still, you know, have a fun time playing.
Spark Notes D&D.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's and then I would mix that with HeroQuest, then I would mix it with other stuff, and then since 5th edition came out, that's the other time I've really been in D&D, and I'm basically playing that by the proper rules, and I've been liking that a lot. As of about a year ago, too, I'm in a group as a player for, like, one of the only times in my life. And it's been a lot of fun to, you know, not be the responsible one. So it's like, see, you know, yeah. It's like, see, oh, like who am too. I as a player?
Yeah. I was going to say, Heather, didn't you just recently, like, join a group on, I think it's 10th Planet?
Yeah. At my comic book shop, I actually play a D&D game because finding a group with my friends here, because of our schedules, it's really hard. So I joined up a group there and, like... It's interesting.
Yeah, I can't do D&D, man. I tried.
It's one of my favorite games.
I don't have the mind for that game.
See, I love D&D, but like Heather said, like schedules is just so hard to get everyone together.
For long periods of time.
Yeah. Because
then you have to, like the beginning, you have to like make your character, and that can take many hours as well.
Yeah, that's a whole nature to itself kind of thing.
D&D Beyond, guess. That's what I use.
What is D&D Beyond?
It's a really simplified, like, the website for Wizard of the Coast. It's a character maker, basically. You go through and it walks you through making characters.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That would save us a lot of time.
Yeah, I have a friend in my group who's always using it, and I'm like the purist. I'm like, no, it's got to be like pencil and paper.
But sketch your character.
That's rough.
He's always solving all these problems and shutting me up by D&D Beyonding it, and just instantly finding out all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I reluctantly accept that help, and it's, I admit it is pretty useful.
It is really, especially for new players. So like I've been using both more. But
maybe I'll try that. Yeah, because I also I prefer the scratch paper. Mm-hmm. You know, with the pencil and
you can still erasing. Use it. You can print out your character sheet.
Print out, you say?
Yeah, you can use it to build your character and then print it out.
How does one print?
What is
one
a printer?
What about you? Exactly. What about you, Fat Lowen? What kind of games
what
do you like?
What are your favorite games?
Oh,
Skylar.
I used to always play one called Phase 10 when I was younger with my family, and a lot of really good nights just playing Phase 10, which is basically just... there's 10 phases to the game, and you just have to
that's
complete
the one that
these
looks like
rules.
Uno, right?
It's kind of like Uno, yeah. So there's colors, numbers, and then for each phase, you have to do a different rule. So you get like two sets of three in one of the phases, or run a five, run a six, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you just try to beat all 10 phases before everyone else can. And if someone else completes the phase before... what is it? I think like the last card drawn or something like that, then you get left behind and the other people advance.
I remember learning it one time and then forgetting it. Like,
I think
next
we've only
time
played it one time.
Has it only been one time?
I think so. I can't remember.
I always thought it was Skip-Bo.
Skip-Bo.
I thought Skip-Bo was it.
No, Phase 10.
The Uno variant.
I was really like appalled when everyone was like, what is this? And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, my whole life has revolved around this game. No one knows what it is.
So what about you, Heather?
Oh, favorite game?
Yeah, what is your favorite tabletop game to play?
I'm going to tell you right now, it's D&D.
D&D?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's just, like, I got into it really recently, much thanks to Critical Role and, like, all these podcasts and stuff. And I really like the storytelling feature. I had my first game with, like, some friends from college. We did over Discord, which is, like, wonderful because I can just lay in my room, like, in pajamas, eating some food, just having a blast with my friends. And we actually finished the game. We completed it. We actually ended it with a really interesting ending. I really liked it.
I don't think I've ever ended a game of D&D.
Yeah.
The first game of D&D I ever played ended.
Yeah, I know, right? It's hard to end them because you just want to keep
the
going.
Rest are
just
continuing.
Keep going and going.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we ended it. Like, we had a definite ending because we wanted to go into Masks, which is a superhero D&D game. Mm-hmm. We just haven't we haven't etched out a time yet for everybody because a lot of, like, moving happened between all of us.
So, Jason, you make a lot of stories, and you said you were usually the DM. So you don't need books for D&D. Now, I'm also a D&D, like, beginner, so...
You do.
You do need books. Okay, I'm...
In my head, it's like, you know, if you're stranded on a desert island with a pencil and paper, you could make, some form of D&D.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, really, like, yeah, if you have a player's guide, you know, Dungeon Master's Guide helps, but the 5e player's guide is really good. And, you know, it's you're going to get a lot of hours of entertainment for the money, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I was away last week from my D&D group, and they performed a heist with no planning whatsoever. And hearing the stories, really? they plan this heist with no planning, no talking to each other, just impromptu heist. And then halfway through the heist, they ran into some guards. And while the guards were there, they're just planning it all out with the guards. I'm just like, I'm really glad I wasn't there that week.
Yeah, that sounds pretty stressful.
Yeah.
So, Heather, were you the DM for that? Or
no, I'm trying to learn to DM, but through like slow process of just like researching, like how to take notes, how to prep. Watching a lot of like YouTube videos and like just researching to research how to research to be a DM.
Okay.
And they'll probably just be one shots for a little bit before I get comfy with it.
So Jason, would you call yourself like a seasoned DM?
Yeah, in the sense that I'm comfortable with it, not in the sense that, you know, I could list every rule or anything like that.
What's the hardest call you've ever made as a DM?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Yeah, okay. I actually have a serious story for that.
Ready for this story.
I'm not going to name any names, but it was, I do a public game every year at Anime North. I think I've done five of them now. So the whole hook is that it's all night D&D. So we play from 9 p.m. to like 6 a.m. In front of an audience. So it's like an exhibition game. So like, you know, all the people at this con that want to stay up all night, you know, come and watch this D&D game. And, you know, it's silly. You know, it's a funny one-off. And I usually try and stack the players with, like, professionally funny people if I can. I don't know. My one friend, you know, he had done it a few years. And, you know, I invited him out again. Let's call him Chad. And Chad. So, you know, Chad was out for D&D. So the problem with running an exhibition game is that, for once, you're not worrying about the fun of the players. So if you're playing a private game, you know, the measure of if it's good is if the players are having fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with a public game, you know, okay, the audience members need to have fun. Mm-hmm. So that was my primary goal that night. So Chad just had this tactic. He had like some kind of trick planned where his character was basically playing dead for some reason. So every time I got to him, he's just like, my character does nothing. I'm like, okay. And I go to him again. He's like, my character does nothing. He lies there. I'm like, okay. So eventually I like, you know, just on the spot, I came up with this. And, you know, it's always a good idea to have audience participation for this type of thing. So I basically had, I recruited an audience member to come up and help my friend Chad with, you know, his turn. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, you be in charge of the character for a while. And so this is the only time I've ever had anything like this. You know, at the break, that player left in a public game. And so that sucked. So I didn't realize how mad he was because I was facing forward towards the audience and I was just kind of keeping the story going, keeping the beats going. Anyway, so we didn't talk for a couple months, but then we patched up.
That was a serious story.
I thought
he had some sort of plan for playing dead.
I guess he didn't get to do it or something. Cause I talked to another friend after who was, you know, the way he was sitting at the table was looking directly at this player. And he's like, oh, yeah, I could see it on his face. And it was like, all right, well, that was kind of different for me because it was like, you know, I was facing the audience, and that's what I was worried about. And, you know, it makes sense that that happened because, you know, usually I am focused on the fun of the players, but that specific type of game that I do once a year, you know, that's kind of like a secondary thing. So,
So,
we came back in after the break. I patched up. We finished the game. Everything was fine. But, you know, yeah, it sucked that that happened. But, you know, I know why it did. And, we're friends again and everything's fine. So
yeah. Sometimes, low quarrels happen, you know, within friend groups, but patch it up. And
you just got to get some Flex Seal, dog.
Some Flex Seal.
Yeah, just Flex Seal it.
Flex tape.
Oh, my goodness. Jason, do you know about Flex Seal?
No, what's Flex Seal?
Oh, it's a huge meme. It's just this ridiculous, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just this product that it's like an as seen on TV thing, and it's like black goop you spray on stuff and it like instantly seals everything that you ever have.
If you got a hole in a boat, Flex Seal. If you got a hole in something, a roof. Yeah, it's
got a broken friendship from D&D.
Yeah.
There you go.
Flex Seal it right up.
So right now we're sort of in the later part of this, but I just wanted to remind the listeners that you are listening to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I am Jose, and you're listening to Region Nerd Alert. And today we have Jason Anarchy talking to us about tabletop gaming, which is Monopoly, Sorry, Cards Against Humanity. Excuse me. I wish I brought water in here. But anyway, so Jason, Drinking Quest. So the first one in that series, is that Liquor Before Honor?
No, the first one was Drinking Quest, the original drinking RPG.
Oh, okay.
And then there was Drinking Quest, Yeti Vetter's Yeti Adventure. And then there was Nectar of the Gods, Journey into Draft, then Liquor Before Honor. And right now on Kickstarter, I have the sixth one called Old Habits. And then that name comes from a couple of places. One, it's kind of like an 80s throwback, so the game is meant to look kind of old, and it kind of, you know, the idea was to have it look like an undiscovered game from the 80s sort of thing.
That's awesome.
But in the previous game, in Liquor Before Honor, the four main heroes, they all got really out of shape from all the drinking. So it's really important to show both the positive and negative aspects. You know, there's humor in both. But in this game, not only are the heroes out of shape, but now they're also old. So we called it Old Habits. And then with game number 7, which will eventually happen, it'll probably be like, the reboot cast or something like that. So Drinking Quest, the Next Generation or something.
That's awesome. So on your website, is it available? Like all of your, because I've seen the trilogy, and that's why I only thought there were three, but you said there's seven?
Yeah.
Trilogy Edition has the first three that are now out of print, and then the other games are separate games that are now available on their own.
Oh, Skylar looked like he was going to say something.
So the original drinking RPG, Yeti Vetter's Yeti Adventure, and Nectar of the Gods, they're originally black and white, and then this one recolors them all, puts them in one box, adds some bonus content. I did several runs of each, but it was like eventually it's like, okay, well, this is the way I want to collect these. And then by the time I got to the fourth entry, I started having a team of artists instead of just one, and I wanted to kind of, up my game with production values and things like that, but still keep the same, absolute ridiculous kind of drunken sword sorcery world happening and all the same kind of, half clever jokes and things like that.
So do you have to play them in order, or would you recommend them playing them in order?
Oh, no, you can start anywhere. Yeah, they're all meant to be full games. They're just kind of different stories in the same world.
Awesome.
So there's no like main through line. There's a few little connections, but it's mainly told like an old drunk guy who can't really remember properly.
Oh, I like that.
So yeah, I never wanted to make a thing where you needed like another thing to play that thing that you bought.
Oh, like so they're not expansion packs, they're just separate stories.
Yeah, they all come with cards, dice, character sheets. Like character sheets look like little bar tabs you can just kind of pull off. But,
that's awesome.
Yeah, because it's meant to be a simpler RPG, so I wanted people to be able to bring it to a pub if they want it.
Awesome.
That's a good idea, actually.
So I actually have Lynn Neckbeard like here with us. I just passed around some of the cards to show everybody. How did you come up with this art? Like who made the art? Because this is all so haggard and it's just amazing.
Oh my gosh, I forgot to eat vegetables.
So this game, so I helped develop it, but I have to give most of the credit to Jonathan Rawlings, who conceived of the game and did the art and wrote the jokes. This is the first game I published that I didn't design myself. So I discovered Lynn Neckbeard on Reddit. So there's a subreddit called Just Neckbeard Thing.
Yep.
Which is the central internet hub of neckbeard lore.
It's really good.
And so one day there was just this post where it was like, hey, I made a card game about neckbeards, and he just posted all the cards. And I was laughing my arse off at these cards. And they were so funny, and there were so many of them. And so I just casually messaged them. I'm like, hey, I make funny card games for a living. Maybe I can put this out for you. And then it worked, and then we did, and he's a younger guy. I think I made his year. It was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, right now I was just looking at the appearance, the neck beard, like the actual neck beard, and my God, it's haggard. Like it's so grotesque.
So many folds.
It's gross, but the neck beard is the protagonist of the game. So you play as a neck beard trying to impress as many waifus as possible. And if you don't know what a waifu is, they're kind of like those kind of like idealized kind of Japanese, ideas of what women are, I guess. Like those creepy body pillows and stuff
like that.
Yeah,
yeah. We can have a whole podcast about waifus.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there is a body pillow in Lynn Neckbeard as a waifu.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's like, the art is grotesque. The depictions of neckbeards are kind of gross, but at the same time, it's like they're still the hero of the game. They're still like this kind of positive spirit throughout all of it. And it's like, you know, nobody's getting that neckbeard down, you know?
Yeah.
Even if Chad tries to steal his cards or whatever.
Right.
You know,
Chad's
so I think that's what kind of, that kind of made it like, I think that kind of saved it a bit and made it kind of okay to laugh at it. And I'm going to be honest, like working conventions with this, I always expected to get more people angry at me than actually do. Because nobody has been coming up to the booth and being like, hey, I'm a neckbeard. You can't do this. You know, it's like, so that has never happened.
So are they more proud of it? Like, hey, thanks for showing neckbeards as strong Chad fighting individuals.
Someone's finally noticed my potential.
My potential.
That's it. I haven't seen that happen either. If it does, though, you'll be the first person I call.
Yes. Thank you. So I'm looking at the optional rules, and I really want to play with these optional rules because I really think they're like kind of clever. Like the three white knights to win any waifu, the three Chad cards steal a player's entire hand. Like, there's been times where I've sat on three white knights, and I'm like, I wish we were playing the optional rules because I could win this right now. Like, I really want to start playing with the optional rules.
I think we came up with those. There was like an error with the backs. We had to do an errata card, which is like pretty common with tabletop games. But I had never needed to do one before, so I'm like, okay, well, it's a really easy fix. All we need is like one simple card. So on the reverse side, we're like, okay, well, what can we do to make this better? What are some other things? And it was those optional rules that we came up with. We've been getting great feedback on those. And, when you're putting like a physical product or a physical game versus a video game, you know, you can't patch it really.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're doing like a physical kind of item. So there's always some kind of mistake, and you always hope that it's not something that actually affects gameplay. So in this case, it was a really easy fix, but it was like, okay, yeah, we did need to say something. But then on the back, we'll put some other fun stuff, and then it might make it a bit more worthwhile.
Yeah, because I was kind of wondering about like the backs of them, like the waifus. Like I was wondering like if that was like a print error.
There was like a manufacturer, and it's a manufacturing company. There was the neckbeard eating Cheetos over the assembly line. He wasn't paying attention.
Totally makes sense.
Catastrophic failure.
He got distracted by
the
waifu.
Yeah.
I thought that was an awesome way to like quote fix it too. Like, hey, mistakes happen sometimes.
Even neckbeards rarely.
Even neckbeards rarely.
Yeah. In the spirit of the game, it was a cocky correction.
I love that. So I want to go on to some more of the games that you have on here because. One in particular, before we run out of time, I want to talk about Haiku Warrior.
Yeah. This is the first time hearing about this. Like,
so as I was seeing, it's an RPG, but told through haikus. And I thought that was a really interesting idea. And maybe you can explain to us, Jason, what that is.
Absolutely. So Haiku Warrior, the whole idea started with the fact that the engine for Drinking Quest coincidentally worked out really well as a one-player game, but I never wanted to make a one-player drinking game.
That's a dangerous road.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, I'm going to make a one-player non-drinking game, and I want it to be kind of the opposite of Drinking Quest, to kind of be a bit of a creative cliche and want to distance myself from the thing that's popular. But it's, basically, so I just want to make a one-player drinking quest with no drinking. And I came up with the haiku theme. I'm like, okay, that's okay, I'll keep it vague and have a lot of like kind of BS spiritualism and deep thoughts that go nowhere and stuff like that. And I made Haiku Warrior, and you're just kind of roaming the land, slaying monsters, freeing their souls and reading funny haikus. It started as a one player game, but it ended up working very well as a 1-4 player game. And there's also I do this a lot where I'll have like a guest expansion with guest artists from other things. So it comes with an expansion as well called The Tower of Many Muses, where people come in and they write haikus for the game. So it's, that was the first time I did any work with Ryan North from Toronto. He's one of my favorite comedy writers of all time.
Hmm.
And the way I got guests with this game was kind of funny too. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to approach all these people I've never talked to before. I'm just going to ask them to write a haiku and I'm going to put it in the game. But it's like, what's the incentive for them? So what I came up with was, haiku has 17 syllables. So I'm like, all right, if you write a haiku for this game, I'll donate $17 to a charity of your choice. And so then I got all these, you know, funny haikus from, like, you know, musicians and writers and artists and things like that. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it was, you know, within budget and wasn't too terrible. And I think everyone had fun with it. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of mail from all these charities I donated $17 to once, but that's okay.
That's awesome. So is there, like, any celebrity haikus in there that you're allowed to
Well, people that I think are celebrities, like, not, you know, like Kim Kardashian didn't write one or anything like that.
Oh, but gosh.
Like, so Ryan North, who did dinosaur comics, okay. Lunar Baboon, who has a webcomic about, you know, being kind of a losery dad kind of thing. Perry Grip of the band Nerf Herder, you know, that I remember watching his music videos in high school, so that was kind of neat they did that. Oh, the lead singer. Have you ever heard of a punk band called Masked Intruder?
Masked Intruder.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
It does.
So these guys are like a comedy punk band. So the gimmick with this band is they're all petty criminals, but they sing love songs. But nobody knows their true identity. On stage, they all wear like different color stick-up masks. So there's like Intruder Blue, Intruder Red, Intruder Green.
I definitely have to look up all these.
For real.
Yeah, so, you know, they're great. Like, 90% of their songs are these really good, like, pop-punk love songs, but then once in a while they'll throw in a song about crime. And it's just really clever and funny because they don't play it as much. They don't overplay the crime stuff. And it's this weird kind of set of comedy songs, but they're, like, on a sincere level, better than a lot of, like, real songs.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, Intruder Blue wrote a haiku for that game about crime, and I think it depicts all four of the masked intruders, like, you know, robbing a pizza or something.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So the Haiku Warrior, you said it is one player?
Yeah, yeah. It's I think I released it about 5 years ago, and then just recently there's been kind of a one player resurgence in tabletop games because the hobby market is just getting so big.
Yeah.
And like you know, there's a lot of one player games like Set a Watch. And there's often a one-player option now. And with me, with the design stuff, you know, I think back to my roots and stuff like that, where I was like, okay, I really want to play, you know, game X, but I don't have the players that night or something, so I'll just do a run-through just so I know how to play, you know, when people are finally over kind of thing. So I think that's another benefit of a one-player game, is that often when you have a, you know, you buy a big box game, you're really excited to play it, there are a lot of nights where you intend to learn a game and then also play it with a group of friends. But adult attention spans, you know, people with responsibilities and schedules, you know, what you end up doing is just kind of wasting the time when people are there and you don't end up playing.
Right.
So I actually wrote a rap song about that, and I performed it with MC Lars. I think we were texting about that earlier.
Yeah,
it's
actually
called Welcome to the Tabletop. And that whole song is just about starting a game night, intending to play a game, and then you just kind of don't. And so that's a thing. I'm like, okay, I want to write this really specific song. And it's, you know, it's not going to be, you know, on mainstream radio or anything, but enough people are going to be able to relate to it, kind of get the silly gimmick, I think.
So game designer / rapper, then, is Jason Anarchy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a bit of nerd rap. So I was in a punk band for a while, but it wasn't good at all. We didn't really do anything. Didn't record anything worthwhile.
But I wish I would have brought my cousin, because he knows a lot about punk music. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, No, it's nerd rap's great. The barrier to entry is so low. So
yeah,
like,
I think
nerd rap is like a comedy writer. And
I was
going
to say, we went to Dragon Con. I went to Dragon Con a few years ago, and MC Chris is there. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
Yeah, I know MC Chris. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, like adult. What is it, Aqua Teen Hunger Force? Mm-hmm. And man, he put on a great show. Like you said, like better than normal artists, you know, like, well, I don't like these, the word normal, but MC Chris, he's got some bars. Normie. I like that word a lot better. But we actually have that, and with your permission, Jason, can we play a little bit of it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, go nuts.
Awesome. So this is Welcome to the Tabletop, MC Lars featuring Jason Anarchy and the guys.
Hi, I'm MC Lars. Heard you got some tabletop games. What do you got for me? I'm serious.
Here quest cards on Stratego and Pathfinder. Got a bunch of homebrew quests here in this binder. Settlers of Catan, Munchkin D&D, Fireball Island, Cards Against Humanity. I'm a game designer too, I'm Jason Anarchy.
What game did you make, Jason? Please tell me.
Drinking Quest, original drinking RPG. Released using DIY business strategy.
I want a game with role-playing, I want to be an elf. I want to use those miniatures you have up on the shelf.
Alright, let's go, it's time to make a hero. Make sure your hit points don't drop below zero. Your character's made, now give him a name.
Or Diplotrical Toes of Elven Fame.
Now it's time to quest without all the hassle.
Still waiting on people? Wanna have a rap battle?
My style's louder than a Tusken Raider. I manage fools with more force than Chad Vader.
Your rhymes are old school. Played out in Chaucerian. I cut like Genghis Khan with my lyrical Caesarian.
Throw on your pub cap and pull up your knickers. Kicking more skulls than Jim's of Skull Kickers.
My style's Halo 4. I make the haters squeamish. They call me Master Chief. They call you Willie Beamish.
Let the dice drop. Let the dice drop. Let the dice drop. On the tabletop. Let the dice drop. Let the dice drop. Let the dice drop.
Waving like you just don't care. Wave your dice in the air.
I love that. Like
that's the best part.
This is definitely the new anthem, guys. So how did that come about? Like, that's amazing.
Oh, man.
I was playing it. I found it before, and I was like, oh, my God, can we play this? Is that okay?
How did it come about? I think I was listening to MC Lars's new album at the time. I think it was called Lars Attack. And I was like, oh, this is really good. And I'm like, maybe I could team up with this guy, like one comedy artist to another. And so I emailed him, and I was like, oh, hey, do you want to do a song? You know, if you want to guest on it, I'll do all the other stuff. And so he was doing a tour, and so I drove to meet him on the closest date, kind of pitched it to him in person. You know, I played him the beat and, you know, kind of the idea I had for the song and everything. And then he was a really nice guy about it, and I think he was impressed with how professional I was about it, because it's a dumb song, you know.
Production quality though is really good.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So theme wise, it's not going to win any awards for depth or anything, but I think he was impressed with the fact that I was professional about it, and basically, you have to be serious about your comedy kind of thing, right? Like if you want to come out with a comedy, a finished, item or whatever it is, then you have to execute that.
Mm-hmm. Can't be halved. You got to jump all the way
no
in.
No half measures.
Nope.
Yeah. So, he was on board with that, and he liked all the stuff I was doing with it. And then production-wise, I had a friend. I used to work at a newspaper, and I had this other buddy there, and we were like the two kind of like creative nerd guys that worked there. So we were like a little out of place. But it's like, every day we'd have something kind of nerdy thing to talk about. But what this guy did was he started this, he had a band, and he worked so hard to produce this album for the band. And he just spent hours and hours in his basement, just going nuts, perfecting everything. Came out with this incredible 12-song album. But then every day he'd come in and have like some new kind of success story with it. Like, oh, we just got X amount of money for this promotion, and oh, we just sold the song to this reality TV show.
Whoa.
It's going to play, 10,000 times or something. And just every day, these insane stories about this guy who was successful, just being this hardworking nerd in his basement. And I was like, that was a bit of inspiration for me right before I came out with my first game. And I was just like, man, I can do that. I can be that nerd. And
that's definitely the dream.
Yeah, so I was a little bit inspired. And then I was like, hey, do you want to produce this beat that I'm for the song I'm doing with MC Lars? And he's like, okay. So yeah, I got the whole band in for a session and did that chorus and everything. And it was a really cool team up. But I got some friends to get on the track and, make, Tusken Raider noises in the background and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun to put together.
That is awesome. Yeah, that is definitely the tabletop anthem.
And now it's on vinyl, too. I should plug the vinyl. I just came out with my first 7-inch record, which is kind of neat.
I was actually going to ask you, I saw some vinyl on your page, and I was like,
Yeah, so Welcome to the Tabletop is the B-side. So the new song, again, it's with MC Lars, YouTube rapper called Fable, and a Canadian rapper called Word Burglar. So the hook of that song, it's called The Middle Class of Middle Earth. So the whole idea of that song is that, it's a Lord of the Rings song. Aragorn becomes king of Middle-earth, Sauron is defeated, but now there's peace in the land, everything's kind of boring, there's no more epic battles or anything. So it kind of goes through all the races of Middle-earth, and everyone's kind of working mundane, thankless jobs and stuff like that. So you've got, the king of Rivendell, installing drywall and stuff like that. And so every rapper is a different race. I'm the dwarves, And, you know, that's kind of our hook. And it's, I don't know, it's like a 5-minute song. It ended up being more epic than I thought it would be. And then Michael Sweater did the artwork for the 7-inch, and he's a webcomic that he does webcomic stuff that I really like. So it was a lot of fun to kind of work with all those people. And, you know, it took a long time, but eventually it turned into like a physical thing. So that was it was really rewarding when it was done.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, I seen vinyl on there, and then I'd seen the rap. I'm like, man, is he a musical artist as well? Like indie board game developer?
Just a creative itch, you know? You always want to be making something.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Jason, for joining us today on Region Nerd Alert. Like, hearing a lot of your stories has inspired me to start getting on my...
I need to be that successful
nerd. Yeah, we're just talking about, like, really trying to get more into...
The buckle down?
Yeah, the buckle down. So, yeah.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, and thanks for listening to my stories. So, yeah, happy to tell more at a future date if you see him doing something new.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome, definitely. Yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch. Is there a convention? Well, I know you're going to the...
Hellcon.
Is there any other conventions lined up that someone can meet you at?
Plug what you're doing. Plug what you're doing.
Yeah. I'll be at PAX Unplugged, PAX South, and PAX East, I think, are my next three. So all the PAXes. You can find me there.
All the PAXes.
All the PAXes. And I believe you have a Kickstarter that's ending this Tuesday, correct?
Yeah. So Drinking Quest Old Habits. It could be your first Drinking Quest game, or it could be the latest one if you played any of the earlier games. Just drinkingquest.com. There'll be a great big link at the top. It also has all my existing games if you know you have to have a game immediately kind of thing for, you know, a bachelor party or something. So all my stuff's on there. Drinkingquest.com or jasonanarchygames.com. They all link to the same spot.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you again, Jason Anarchy, and thank you to all my co-hosts here. You just heard Region Nerd Alert on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And if you missed this episode or caught the end of it and want to listen to it again, it's on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and also Lakeshore Public Radio. And
what about that NPR One app?
I'm glad you said something. The NPR One app you can also download and listen to all your NPR needs. Just look for Lakeshore Public Radio and Region Nerd Alert, and you can also do that. And also, it's lakeshorepublicradio.org. .com is going to bring you to a really weird place, and I don't want to...
You don't want to be there.
I do not want to send you there. So lakeshorepublicradio.org. And yeah, thank you again, Jason Anarchy, for talking on tabletop with us. And hopefully we can meet you one day and have some tabletop memories of our own.
Yeah, thank you. I think that'd be awesome.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you, everybody. And goodbye.
Bye.